turn to the book of Psalms, please, the 120th Psalm, page 662 in your Schofield Bible. We'll be reading all the verses of this psalm. The fifth verse is the text verse, Psalm 120, page 662, reading responsively all the verses. And let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee? Or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of juniper. Woe is me that I sojourn in Mesech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. And together on the seventh verse, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for every good report. We've rejoiced tonight at things that have been said. Thank you for all that has to do with a great service such as this. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the good spirit. Thank you for the preaching that's to follow now. We just praise you so for meeting with us. We're confident that you're here. We're confident that there's something here for each of us, every individual. And so, of course, it's important that each of us bear some responsibility toward the success of this service by listening and being a hearer and a doer of thy word. Help and bless our preacher, very especially tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are some sermons that I preach from this pulpit that you might could dispute, and you might could have a case. I never preach anything in this pulpit that I don't think is true. I always preach exactly what I think the Bible teaches, and I always preach exactly what I believe. But there's some times when I might make some statements that could be up for dispute. There's some times when there are people here who might be as qualified or even more qualified than I to speak on a particular subject. For example, the morning that I spoke on the potter and the potter's wheel and the vessel, there are people here that know more about clay than I do, and about toll painting and so forth than I do. Tonight, nobody in this room can dispute what I'm going to say and be right, because I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, I sojourn in Meshech. Now, let me have your attention. When you've pastored 42 years and pastored more people than any pastor in the history of the United States of America, and probably counseled with more people than any pastor in the history of our nation, then you will be equally qualified to speak on this subject I'm going to speak on tonight. This will not be the best sermon you ever heard, will not be among the best sermons you ever heard, but it may be, for many of you, the most important sermon you've heard since you got saved. The word sojourn means to pass through. A sojourner would be a vacationer. A sojourner would be someone coming to visit a relative and staying a couple of weeks or a few days. Sojourn means to go somewhere as a guest and to pass through or stay briefly and then return. When the psalmist said, I sojourn in Meshech, he said, I dwell in the tents of Kedar. He said, in fact, that's the 120th Psalm and verse 5. It said, woe is me that I sojourn in Meshech and dwell in the tents of Kedar. Now, what he was saying is this. I live in Kedar. But he said, woe is me, because I sojourn, or occasionally I visit Meshach. Before I pray and before I preach, let me tell you what Meshach is. Meshach is the word, the name of a tribe of people that settled in what is now Russia. In fact, when you find the word Meshach has evolved to mean the word Moscow. You'll find in Ezekiel 37 and 38 the word Meshach and Tubal, which is Moscow and Tobol. So listen to me. You'll find that this psalmist was saying, I dwell in the tents of Kedar. That's where he should have dwelt. But he said, woe is me, for I sojourn in the land of Meshach, or the land of Russia, if you please. Our Heavenly Father, tonight I'm going to put my finger on one of the most important subjects in all the book, and one of the most important sermons that could ever be preached. Now, I pray you'd help me. Give me a clear mind, a warm heart, a powerful spirit, and bless those who hear. May they listen. Hush the whispering now, and quieten the restless one. And may they have their attention focused this way. Please. Amen. Follow me carefully. In Genesis 12:10, it says, Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. There was a famine in the land. Abraham said to his wife and to his nephew, who was probably an adopted son, he was reared by Abraham, his name was Lot. He said to Sarah and Lot, he said, we're the famine in the land, we've got to go down to Egypt. And we've got to sojourn there. He went down to sojourn. But the tragedy is, he did not sojourn. Nobody ever goes into sin to stay. There's not one single drunkard tonight in a tavern in all the Chicago area who planned to be a drunkard in a tavern in the Chicago area. There's not one single dope addict tonight trying to fumble the needle with a quivering hand to his veins or his arm, who said, I'm someday going to be a dope addict. There's not one single lady who walks the streets of the red light district who at one time said, I am going to be a harlot or a prostitute. Everybody who goes into sin goes to sojourn. They don't go to stay. They don't plan to stay, but bless your heart, they stay. Abraham said, I'm going down to Egypt to sojourn. But Abraham stayed in Egypt. And while he was there in Egypt, he hired a little gal named Hagar. Hagar was a maid in the house of Abraham. Hagar became a part of the family, you might say. Abraham went to Egypt to sojourn. Didn't go to stay, went to sojourn. When he came back after a long time, after he had stayed there and dwelt there, in fact, he stayed long enough to get wealthy, and for Lot to get wealthy. He came back, he said to Sarah, let's bring Hagar with us. She's just like one of the family. God had promised Abraham and Sarah he would give them a son. Sarah was getting old. Abraham was 10 years older. One day Sarah said to Abraham, looks like God's not going to give me, let me bear a child. Why don't you take the little slave girl or servant girl Hagar and see if she can bear you a child. I want to tell you something right here. You don't have to help God do His work. You don't have to figure out your cute little plan. People that used to be fundamentalists all over America tonight trying to figure out cute little plans to substitute for the old-time religion. Cute little soul-winning ventures. Substituting for the Bible plan of publicly and from house to house. Everybody's trying to find some cute little way to do God's work. God knows how to do His own work. But Hagar did get pregnant. She had a boy. Half Egyptian, half Hebrew.
That boy fathered the entire Arab race. The Middle Eastern problem tonight is caused by one thing. Abraham went to Egypt to sojourn. All the problem wrapped up in that one thing. The next time you drive up to a service station, pay a dollar a gallon or so for gasoline, you can blame Abraham. I mean, the tragedy of what Abraham did is still being felt. That isn't all. Abraham lost Lot. Because when Abraham went to Egypt to sojourn, Lot, his adopted son, his nephew really, Lot went with him. And Lot became infatuated with Egypt and became wealthy while he was there. May have grown to adulthood, probably was old, adult when he went. But anyway, he became infatuated. When Abraham finally came back after a long time to Canaan, Lot came with him. But the Bible says, though Lot was out of Egypt, Egypt was not out of Lot. And Abraham's herdman and Lot's herdman had an argument or a fuss. Abraham said, let there be no strife between my herdman and your herdman. Let's divide. You take whatever land you want, and I'll take whatever's left. Lot looked down and saw the well-watered tropical plains, southern Florida-like, southern California-like, Hawaii-like plains, Garden of Eden-like well-watered plains toward Sodom. And he said, I'll take that. And Lot went to Sodom. While he was in Sodom, he ran for office and became probably the mayor of the city, if not a leading politician in the city. Bible said he lived in the gates of the city. He finally offered his daughters to a bunch of sodomites, homosexuals. Finally, he left the city of Sodom because God was going to rain fire on it. His wife turned back and looked back and turned to a pillar of salt, and Abraham went down to a place called Zoar with his two daughters. Lot did. Lot committed sin with his two daughters, and each daughter got pregnant by her father. Lot was the father of his grandchildren. And Lot, two heathen races came. One of Lot's little boys by his daughter was named Moab. The other was named Ammon. And from these two boys came the two races. In fact, the capital city of Jordan tonight is Ammon. Named after this Ammon. Now, I'm not going to go into this deeply, but I want to say this. You will never go into sin to sojourn. You never will. Just to see how it tastes. Just to see how it feels. Every alcoholic in this world went to the bottle to sojourn. Every harlot or whoremonger in this world went to the bed to sojourn. Every dope addict in this world went to the bottle or the needle to sojourn. Now you listen to me tonight. There is nobody immune from this. There is not a single person in this room tonight who is as good a Christian as Abraham was. Now if Uncle Abraham can't sojourn in Egypt, bless God, you can't sojourn in Egypt. No, you can't sojourn with a rock music crowd. No, you can't sojourn with a dope crowd. No, you can't sojourn with the abortion crowd. No, you can't sojourn with a homosexual crowd. No, you can't sojourn with the adulterous crowd. If Abraham could not go down to Egypt to sojourn, bless God, you can't go down to Egypt to sojourn either. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, I read, Elimelech and Naomi and two sons went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Elimelech, the father, Naomi, the mother, Mahlon and Chilion, the two sons, in a time of famine in Bethlehem, went down to Moab, wicked country, by the way, the country that was built by this son of Abraham with Hagar, same fellow I mentioned a while ago. Wouldn't hurt you to listen. Listen, see, there are people, the best people in this church can sojourn and end up in Egypt. Best folks in this church. Elimelech and Naomi, it says, they went to sojourn in the country of Moab. Bible says these words, and they continued there. And for 10 long years, they lived in Moab. Listen to me. Some of you young folks, wouldn't hurt you to listen to what I'm saying tonight. You folks that think you can take it or leave it. You think you can go to the rock music crowd for a while and then when you become an adult, you can quit it. No, you're not that smart. You're not that spiritual either. You're not Abraham's superior when it comes to walking with God. Let me remind you, Abraham had enough faith to leave his home, leave his homeland, leave his friends, leave his kindred, to go to look for a city he did not know where, that had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. He did not know where. He had that much faith, and yet Abraham could not dabble in sin and just dabble. And bless God, you can't dabble in sin and just dabble either. No, you can't. No, you can't. Not a deacon on this board can. Not a man on this platform can. Not a member of this choir can. Not a single teacher in our schools can. Not a single student in our schools can. Not a single person in this room. I don't care how mature in the Lord you are. You will not dabble in sin unless you get stuck in sin. And you will not sojourn and just sojourn. Doesn't work that way. 10 years they stayed. They went to sojourn. While they were there, as is always the case, their children, their boys, fell in love with young ladies. Well, with whom can they fall in love? There are no Christian people there. There are no people of God there. You take your kids to Moab and they're going to marry girls in Moab. That's one reason why if a single person in this house ought to build the lives of your children around this church. But you sit with the house, I know somebody did that, and they didn't turn out okay. That's an exception to the rule. But for everyone you can show like me like that, that built their lives around this church, I can show you 25 who did turn out okay. And for every one person you show me in the world that made it in the world, I'll show you 25 that didn't make it in the world. They stayed for 10 years. Their sons married heathen girls. Malan and Chilion married two girls named Orpah and Ruth. That isn't all. The process of time, Elimelech died. In the process of time, Malan died. Down in Moab. And in the process of time, Chilion died. Now you got Naomi by herself. Hey, Naomi, why didn't you just sojourn? You don't sojourn into sin. You don't dabble with sin. You don't play with a rattlesnake. And so here's Naomi. 10 years. She said, I'm going to go back home. My husband, my kids have married heathen girls. My boys are dead. My husband's dead. I'm going to go back home. She went back after 10 years to Bethlehem, Judah. She walked down the streets of Bethlehem, and the people that had known her looked and said, who is that? And somebody said, that's Naomi. She used to live here 10 years ago. And they said, is that Naomi? Why? Because she had changed so much. Young ladies, if you want to be attractive and pretty, then you serve God. The thing that will wreck your beauty more than anything in this world is the devil's crowd. Well, you say, boy, they got some pretty good-looking girls on television. You get a razor blade and scratch that goo off their face, and you'll find out they're not pretty either. Best beauty aid in the world for a young lady is a good Christian life. Naomi comes back home and they say, is this Naomi? And they say, and she said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. I'm not pleasant anymore. Call me Mara, for Mara means bitter. She said, I went away full and came back hungry. Well, there's a famine when she left. Yeah, but she meant spiritually. I went away full and I came back hungry. I went away with my husband. I came back without him. I went away with my boy. I came back without him. Went away with another boy. Came back without him. Went away with my beauty. Came back without it. Went away with my joy. Came back without it. Why? I'll tell you why. She did exactly what some of you folks are doing. She's dabbling in sin. Boy, I wish I could get you kids to listen to me. I wish I'd get you little girls that are sort of pretty, 17-year-old girls that are sort of pretty, to listen to me. I wish I could get you guys that think you're the next hero or the next All-American or the next famous movie star. I wish you could listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I know where you end up. I know the heartache. I know the heartbreak. I know the ruin. I know the tragedy. I know the broken lives. I know the broken dreams. I know the broken air castle. I know what I'm talking about. Listen, there's not a young person in this room tonight that knows 1/100th as much as I do about life. I know what I'm talking about, and you all have enough sense to listen to somebody who's counseled with hundreds of thousands of people and knows what happens when you dabble with sin. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 4. Jacob said, I don't know what he said yet. I'll tell you as soon as I clean my glasses off. I have sojourned with Laban and have stayed there until now. Anybody like to listen to me? Fiddle with your fingers when you get home. Do your hair when you get home. Talk to your boyfriend on the way home. Jacob, back yonder when he tricked Esau, little sissy Jacob, wouldn't give you a dime for a fellow home making soup while his brother's out hunting. Wouldn't give you a dime for a fellow made soup for what his brother's doing. That's why God made women to make soup. It's in the Bible. Thou shalt therefore go forth and make soup. That'll preach. In the Greek, it means steak. But anyway, Jacob's mother said, "Sweetie pie, Esau's going to kill you now since you've tricked him. You better go back to your old homeland and you better stay there for a while, just for a while." Hey, Jacob said he went to sojourn. Would you like to know how long he stayed? 20 long, wasted years. You know, do you know whom the devil makes alcoholics out of? Young people, not listen to me right now. You know what young ladies get pregnant before they get married? Young ladies that don't listen to me while I preach. You come to my office and you sit in my office and listen to watch the tears and listen to the heartache and the heartbreak of young people that thought Brother Hiles was old fogey. You never know I'm old fogey. And happiness is old fogey. And joy is old fogey. And peace is old fogey. And right is old fogey. And honor is old fogey. And purity is old fogey. You piddle around and dabble around with sin, you're going to get bit. I guarantee you, you'll not be able to withstand it. You go to sojourn and you'll dwell there. 20 wasted years. Oh, my soul, Jacob. Hey, Jacob, the man whom God chose after whom to name the after which to name his race. What why God didn't call the Jewish people the Abrahamites? He didn't choose to do that. Or Abraham's son Isaac, when they called the Isaacites. For some strange reason, I know not why, God chose Jacob and changed his name to Esau. I'm sorry, to Israel. And they're called the Israelites. Now, if Jacob, after whom the nation of Israel was named, and they still bear his name tonight, if he could go to into sin and not stay there and sojourn and come out. If he couldn't do it, you can't do it. Genesis 47, verse 4. Again, Jacob. Remember the story about Joseph? I want you sailors to stay in church now. I've been preaching, going to church 63 years, I've never walked out to use the restroom yet. You can make it for one service. I've walked out to smoke a few times, but never to use the restroom. You remember the story of Joseph being sold to Egypt And how when a famine came, Jacob went to Egypt. In Genesis 47 and verse 4 it says, "For to sojourn in the land we come." That's what Jacob said. Didn't come to stay. Hey, listen. Didn't come to stay. "For to sojourn in the land." To visit. To pass through. To get some food and go back home. But the truth is, he stayed. He died there. He fathered a nation. That nation became slaves in Egypt. And that's what they were doing in Egypt in Pharaoh's day. And that's why God had to call Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt toward the promised land. Why? Because Jacob could not go and sojourn. In 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 2, a very interesting statement is made about the Shunammite woman. It says she sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. She sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. So the story goes. Generation to generation, nobody seems to learn. Nobody listens much to what a preacher says who counsels the folks and knows what happens. So the story goes on. One drink at Christmas time. One drink at the company picnic or party. One drink at the company Christmas party. Taverns are full of people that started that way. Broken homes are all this nation because of men and women that started that way. You won't do it that way. The devil comes and says, just take a drink, one drink. And once you've taken the first drink, the second drink is 10 times as easy to take. And the third is 100 times as easy to take. You will not sojourn in the land of booze. You won't do it. There's a man who lives in this area, at one time was an evangelist. His story goes like this. He preached revivals across the Southland. One day a man owed him some money. That man was in a tavern. And he went to that tavern to try to collect that money. Listen, if somebody owes you some money, don't go into a tavern to get it. If you've got to go to a tavern, listen, if he wants to stay in the tavern the rest of his life, let him have the money. No reason for you to go to a tavern unless you're preaching as you walk in. He stayed there and waited for that man, talked to that man while he was there, took one drink, ended up at the mission of First Baptist Church. "I want to see," said one, "what dope is like. I like to feel it one time." You won't feel it one time. You won't do it. Let me tell you something, young people. Go to your grave still wondering what dope is like. Go to your grave still wondering what liquor's like. Go to your grave still wondering what tobacco's like. Just want to see what dope is like. I just want to leave school for one semester. I'm sick. Well, serving God never made anybody sicker. My Bible said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I just want to leave school for one semester. Nobody ever is out of school the second semester who's not out of school the first semester. I want to go home, rest up. Well, I'm 63 years old, and you don't need rest any more than I do. If I can keep on going, bless God, you can keep on going. I'd be ashamed if I were some little 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old single student in college and not have as much grit and gumption and strength as Jack Hiles, that old 63-year-old man. I'd be ashamed of myself if I were you. I just want to be out for one semester. Or I just want to be absent for one Sunday from church. Just one Sunday. You won't sojourn in absenteeism. You won't do it. Then the next time it'll be easier. The next time it'll be easier. Listen, when you're on vacation, you ought to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. When school is out for the holidays, you ought to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Every member of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, unless he's too sick to come, ought to go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But you say, just one time. Okay, one time leads to two times, and two to four, and four to eight. And after a while, you won't be in church. Nobody ever was an habitual absentee that didn't miss one time first.
Well, I understand that Hollywood is wicked. I just want to go to one Disney movie. In the first place, Walt Disney is one of the sorriest things in Hollywood right now. Disneyland is sold out for the almighty dollar like everybody else has. I mean, the Disney studios like everybody else has. Hollywood is a cesspool. I don't care if it's Mickey Mouse.
Well, you say, what's wrong going to see a Mickey Mouse movie? Because that's the same place you go to see the R-rated movies. And you shouldn't be seen in those places. And once you have gone to see Walt Disney, it'll be easier for you to go see... What's that muscle-bound fella? Not me. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nigger. Listen, it'll be easier if I want to go see him. Once you've seen Jack and Jill, then you want to see Marilyn Monroe. I'm sorry, Liz Taylor. Now you listen to me. Oh, I said, I don't agree, but you don't know what you're talking about, and I do. Because you never have pastored the church with all these people, and you don't see what happens, and you don't follow folks like I do, and you haven't taken polls like I have, and seen folks like I have. And what you better do tonight is you better say, I believe that man's right because he says it, and he knows what he's talking about, and he loves me. He does not want to see my life wrecked and ruined. I'm not going to go sojourn. I know I'll get hooked and I'll end up dwelling there, just like Abraham did, just like Jacob did, just like the Shunammite woman did, just like Elimelech and Naomi did. Well, nothing wrong with one little conversation with a fellow that's trying to destroy this church. Nothing wrong with one little conversation with a fellow that's trying to destroy Howells Anderson College. Nothing wrong with one conversation with one of these big liars. Every disgruntled that's ever left this church at one time listened to somebody they shouldn't listen to. And by, I'll go to this after a while. I'll not forget this. Come back to it. But I want to say something after a while. And I know what I'm talking about. What you better do is don't you sojourn with a critic. Don't you sojourn with a gossip. Don't you sojourn with a rebel. Don't you sojourn with the dirty liars and destructive people trying to destroy the greatest church on the face of God's earth. Don't sojourn. Somebody comes in from out of town to visit, and they're trying to destroy this church, don't eat with them. Say hi to them and keep on moving. Well, I just thought I'd go to John MacArthur's pastor school just to take the good. One of the closest friends I've had on the face of this earth no longer is. Well, he wasn't my friend, but I thought he was. He told me one day, I'm going to John MacArthur's pastor. Who's John MacArthur? He's the one man in America doing more to destroy soul-winning churches than any other man in America today. Fellow said, I'll go to his pastor's school. Has a little shepherd school of some kind, about 300 or 400 go a year, I think. And I'll go out and he said, the fellow said, I'll go out and I'll just choose the good. That fellow is lost to the cause of fundamentalism tonight. Lost. In the first place, you don't know what the good and the bad is. In the second place, you hang around those folks that have charisma. Look, the guys that don't believe anything, the pussyfooters and the ear ticklers, they're a lot nicer than the fundamentalists are. They're never against anything. They never have to frown. They can smile and say, possibility thinking. They don't have to frown. They don't preach on hell. They can smile. Power of positive thinking, all that kind of garbage. I'm simply saying, don't you even run for a second with a crowd that's liberal, new evangelical. Don't you do it. You you'll end up staying.
Well, I've always just wanted to see what's in Playboy magazine. I said, Brother Moffitt, don't do it. He said, don't say that to me. It means you don't want me to say don't do it. Anyway, he said, Brother Colston, but anyway, look, did you know you don't need to know what's in Pebble Magazine? And did you know if you never know, you won't lose a meal over it? Live and die and still wonder what's in Playboy Magazine. You know what's wrong with you young men? You take that first little peek. That first little look at a gal running down, coming down the street half naked. Don't look at her. She'll look at her. That's why she's running down the street half naked. She's advertising. Don't tell me that's why you wear your bikinis to the glory of God. Don't tell me you lay on these beaches around here in the summertime to the glory of God. You know why you do it. You want to show your legs and half your bosom if you can. I'm simply saying, young men, you can be clean if you won't ever start being unclean. You went to sojourn. One little movie. See what it's like. You won't see one little movie to see what it's like. Dr. Jorgensen knows this is true. Dr. Jorgensen and Dr. Evans and I know this is true. Young men that we have to expel from school. One movie leads to another. And one, another leads to another. And one immoral thought leads to another. Listen. I believe with all of my soul the time has come for men to be men. And if you can't control your thought life, you're not much man. Every woman that crosses your path has a God-given right for you not to examine her like you would a hog at the county fair. One of our students said the other day concerning a girl, he said, boy, you got sexy legs. I'd be ashamed of myself. I'd be ashamed of myself. Rotten, filth, you won't sojourn there, you'll stay there. Well, I just wanted to hear the other argument. The other side. At Liberty University, they brought people in to give the other side. Wheaton College brought a fellow in to speak on theistic evolution just to hear the other side. Bless God at Howells Anderson College, you ain't going to hear the other side. They'll serve banana splits in hell before we'll have a evolution believer stand on our platform and speak. Stan Harris will join the Ku Klux Klan. Before we have somebody stand on our campus speaking for theistic evolution. We'll not tell the other side. Well, he won't be well around it. All fully on that garbage. That's the devil's lie. I just want to see what a rock concert's like. You won't see what a rock concert is like. You go to sojourn and you'll stay. I won't. Abraham did. And you're not a better Christian than Abraham. And by the way, these little people that say I can take one, that's all. They couldn't take it at all. They're the weakest, puniest people in the church. Why don't you wonder what Book of Romans is like? Why don't you wonder what soul winning is like? Why don't you wonder what an all-night prayer meeting is like? Well, how can we help the wrong crowd if we don't run with them? Oh, you've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding. You heard me say this 100 times. One hepatitis plus no hepatitis equal 2 hepatitis. You don't put sick, well folks with sick folks to make the sick folks well. But how are we going to help them? We're not going to use our young people as sacrificial lambs in order to try to help them. Listen to me. You're not supposed to run with the wrong crowd. Not for one day. Not for 1 hour. Not for one party. Not for one social. You go to sojourn and you stay. Well, I just want to know what sex feels like. I'm not married and I want to know what sex feels like. I just want to, one young lady said, I just want one time to know what it's like. Well, then, when you get married and do it right? Nobody sojourns into illicit sex. Nobody sojourns into liquor. Nobody sojourns into dope. Nobody sojourns into rock music crowd. Nobody sojourns with the wrong crowd. Well, I just wanted to not tithe on one paycheck. You went to sojourn in robbing God. Nobody sojourns in robbing God. You keep on robbing God. There are people all over this house tonight that are God robbers. I mean God robbers. And as far as God's concerned, He has more respect for a bank robber than for you. And you got God's money in your pocket and you didn't intend to go a month without tithing, or you didn't intend to go a year without tithing. You intended to miss it one time. But you don't sojourn in sin. You stay. I said a while ago, every prostitute that walks the red light district at night and has the light in the window and looks out to try to charm the men and steal decency from young men had one time when she wanted to know what sex was like. Every dope addict tonight that cannot control his emotions and robs and steals and will kill even to support his narcotics habit. Every single one of them one time, because of peer pressure, decided they'd take smoke one little marijuana, take one little shot, take one little bit of heroin to try to keep from being different, and every one of them started that way. So I'm wondering why I hate for these liberals talk about social drinking. Talk about some can take it and some can't. Every sex pervert had one time when he decided to sojourn. Every alcoholic had one time when he decided to sojourn with the bottle. Every non-tither had one time when he decided to sojourn with robbing God. Every disgruntled person had one time when he decided to sojourn with somebody that had a critical, wicked, lying tongue. I watch how it turns out. Listen carefully. Young lady was having marital problems. Don't miss it. Actual case. I could tell you a dozen just like it. But if I give me an hour, I could think of 100 just like it. Somebody in this church suggested that she read a book on marriage by a new evangelical. Hear me now. Seems harmless. And what the fellow said on marriage was probably pretty good. But she became enchanted with this man, his ministry. She left the First Baptist Church of Hammond, joined a church, and that man, you shouldn't read anybody's book on marriage that wouldn't come to First Baptist Church Hammond. So she left this church and joined a church like his. All because one lady in this church, trying to help her, told her to read a book by a new evangelical preacher. A graduate of our college. Went to Baltimore, Maryland. Or was it Philadelphia? One or the other. To hear John MacArthur speak. He went to sojourn. He decided after the service he'd like to go shake his hand. He went up. They chatted a while. That young man has been lost 5 or 6 years to the cause of fundamentalism. No longer a fundamentalist. No longer has our standards.
Another graduate of Hiles Anderson College decided to go to a neo-evangelical school for summer school, work on his degree, advanced degree, or get more training in summer school. He went to that new evangelical school one summer. He was hooked. He's been lost totally to the cause of fundamentalism and what we believe. A former faculty member at Hiles Anderson College went out to start a church. Now, I'm not giving you things I thought up. I'm giving you actual cases. This faculty member started a soul-winning church, had the same convictions we have. He told me this with his own lips. He said, I was in a rich area, wealthy area. I could not reach those wealthy people. But they had a little neighborhood drinking party or cocktail party every week on a certain night. And I decided that I'd go to that cocktail party and meet them and let them get to know me. That's one way they get to know me. I lived in the neighborhood. He went. That man is as far from being a fundamentalist as a man can be right now. Used to teach at Hiles Anderson College. Now you listen to me. Yeah. He sat here and listened to my sermons, but he didn't know what I said. What the Bible says. Lost to the cause of fundamentalism. Join the new evangelist. You go see him, you'll be ashamed of the way he wears his hair. Lost to the cause of soul-winning fundamentalism. I know a student went to McDonald's to eat one hamburger, one order of French fries, and one Coke with a lying critic from this church. One hamburger, one French fry. It doesn't take 15 minutes. It doesn't take 5 minutes to eat that. Larry Weller, he eat it in 10 seconds. He eats McDonald's hamburgers like we take pills. Puts one in, washes it down with a Coke. And puts the gallon jar of Coke down and he takes another one. One hamburger with a lying critic. One order of French fries. I'll close with this. About 10 years ago, we had about a new evangelical pastor came to the town out in the south suburbs. He was a charming fellow and didn't have any convictions, so some of our people went over there. About a year ago, I got a list of all these people and tracked them down. I doubt if hardly any of them are at that church anymore. And I'll guarantee you, in the poll I took a poll of every single one of them that left and went over there. I'll guarantee you, 95% of them don't go to a fundamental church now, and they're scattered everywhere from no church to charismatic churches. And you're not immune. Some guy walks up to you and let me tell you a little something, and he starts to criticize. Get up and say, shut up, walk off with two or three of his teeth in your fist. I sojourn in Meshach. Woe is me. I don't live in Russia, he said. I just sojourn there. Woe is me. I'm talking to folks all over this room tonight who are sojourning in Meshach. All over this room. I'm talking to young people sojourning, but you won't stay. You won't keep sojourning. You won't do it. I could take you tonight to a young man. He's not a young man anymore. He's probably 35 now. I can take you tonight to a young man who was in this church who decided that he could run around with a homosexual crowd. Listen to me now. That young man went out one time to see what it's like. That young man became, in the end, a prostitute. Now follow me carefully. A prostitute. He dressed himself like a woman, lured men to a motel room. They paid him. He'd go to the washroom and slip out the window and go to somebody else. Hey, that fellow was in our Sunday school here. He decided he could sojourn. I can take you to a young lady tonight. She's not a young lady anymore. She's probably middle-aged now. I could take you to, she went to our Sunday school, one of our girls here. She decided she was going to sojourn to sin. That girl was hired and placed in a high-rise apartment with minks and jewelry and furs and big cars. And before she knew it, that young lady was there. These men went in together and paid her apartment bill and bought her the most beautiful furniture, most beautiful clothes and furs and diamonds and automobiles. So when any one of them wanted her, they'd go there and have her. Now she's setting these pews. You're not immune. You're not immune. If you don't want to live in Moab, don't you visit Moab. If you don't want to learn to be a gambler, then don't you stand around and watch a bunch of folks in Las Vegas work these one-armed bandits. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada one night, had to wait 4 hours on an airplane. In the Las Vegas airport, they've got these one-armed bandits everywhere. I mean, you can't even walk to a gate without passing probably 1,000 of them. And I said to myself, I'm not going to look at them. I'm not going to do it. I'll go over here and get me a hot dog. I gained 5 pounds that night. I ate hot dogs with mustard, hot dogs with ketchup, hot dogs with relish, hot dogs with onions, hot dogs with chili, hot dogs with cheese. But I didn't sit and watch them play the one-armed bandits. How about you tonight? What are you dabbling with? There's not one person in this house tonight that knows more about what I'm talking about or as much about what I'm talking about as I do. 42 years I've been watching him. 42 years I've been watching one little night, one little park at Lover's Lane, one little martini. But nobody ever goes to Moab just to visit. They go and they stay. Oh, they plan just to visit. Ask Abraham. Ask Elimelech. Ask Naomi. Ask Jacob. Ask the Shunammite woman. Our Heavenly Father.